got something to say to Paul?
Oh, Gilan, what the hell is wrong with you?
I want to hear from you. He's negative about this person, negative about that person. Come on, dude.
Join the conversation by dialing or texting the HRNP listener line. Now back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios with Paul Gilan.
Patch credit in for Paul Gilan. Paul Gilan Show, ESPN 975. 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. On the HRMP listener line, on the text line, on Twitter, Pete Creighton 1. Big Johnny B on the other side of the glass, the master controls at Third Coast Johnny. Twitch.tv/ESPN975. ESPN975.com, ESPN975 app. Tell Google, tell Alexa, play ESPN975. Take us with you everywhere that you go. You know you want to. So, in another one of these stories that were like zero doubt this was going to happen, kind of like Justin Verlander was going to win the AL Cy Young. Justin Verlander was named American League Comeback Player of the Year in a vote that surprised zero people and should have surprised zero people. He went from DNP to unanimous Cy Young. If anybody else got a vote, that person should probably not only be stripped of his vote, but be stripped of their lives. We've got to get that kind of stupidity out of the gene pool. Verlander, of course, 18-4. 18 wins, led the American League. .818 win percentage, led the American League. .175 ERA, led the American League. It was also the best of his career. .220 ERA plus, led the American League. .0829 whip, led the American League. 6 hits per 9, led the American League. Like, it was kind of a no-brainer, right? In a year where there really weren't a lot of AL pitchers who threw big-time innings, Verlander only threw 175 innings. When I say only, he's coming off Tommy John surgery. And usually a TJ pitcher is capped at 160. He went 175 and then, you know, basically only 20 innings in a postseason. But just looking at his other Cy Young seasons, the .220 ERA plus, best of his career. Realistically, Verlander probably should have won Cy Young in 2018. .290 strikeouts and 214 innings. But like since he came to Houston, right, 2017, he made 5 starts, won all 5, had a .064 whip, a .106 ERA. At 2018, 16-9, .252, .090 whip, somehow finished second in the Cy Young. 2019, 21-6, .258, .080. The guy has just been absolutely insane since he got to Houston. It's like being on a real contending team that intends to compete every year rejuvenated him and got him back to being as locked in as he once was before, you know, Detroit started falling off and kind of lost his focus a little bit. When you're that kind of a pitcher and you're an elite pitcher and you're on a team that's kind of lousy and, you know, you're getting towards the end of your contract, sometimes it's hard to stay motivated. He's looked pretty motivated for the Astros. Here's one, though, that I thought was interesting. National League Comeback Player of the Year, Albert Pujols. Apparently, everyone in MLB is really just going to turn a blind eye to the fact that Albert Pujols put up second half numbers that, well, they scream I was on something.
Are you trying to say Albert Pujols is the real steroid bully?
I'm very much saying his numbers are suspect as all hell. I mean, think about how this went down for Albert. Look, these are his season numbers going as far back as 2017, age 37. This was his age 42 season, right? 2017, 241 average, 286 on base, 672 slugging. Oh, sorry, OPS. That's even worse. 682 OPS. 2018, 245 average, 289 on base, 700 OPS. 2019, 244 average, 305 on base, 734 OPS. All of these are well below league average. 2020, 224 average, 270 on base, 665 OPS. These OPSs are like worse than Maldonado's. That's how bad these things are. 2021, 236 average, 284 on base, 717 OPS. Albert Pujols, first half this season, 215 average, 301 on base, 676 OPS. Albert Pujols, second half, 158 at-bats. 18 homers, 48 RBI, 323 average, 388 on base, 1103 OPS. Do you know the last time Albert Pujols hit 300? 2010. The last time Albert Pujols had an OPS over 800, 2012. His second half was so ridiculous. He finished the season with an 895 OPS. All of this just miraculous turnaround right after the All-Star break. Nobody thinks this is suspicious. And this is why I'm making this comment, right? I'm saying it's suspicious. I'm not saying I know for a fact Albert Pujols is a dirty cheater. I'm saying it's highly suspicious. What did we learn from the steroid era? What did we learn from the late 90s? How many media members said, you know what, we should have questioned why all these numbers suddenly got so big? We should have questioned. We should have dug deeper. We should have paid more attention. The media was asleep at the wheel when it came to steroid use in the mid to late 90s. Hell, going back to the 80s. They were completely asleep at the wheel and admitted it. We should have asked questions. Why is no one asking questions about Albert Pujols? Is it because nobody wants to ask that question about a guy who would otherwise be a first ballot Hall of Famer? Is it because everybody likes Albert Pujols? Because Pujols wasn't mean to them in interviews or, you know, didn't snark them during press conferences or things like that? Is that why? Because don't tell me you're a gatekeeper for the game and you're here to protect the game. You're not. You're there to protect your access. be fair. Media is there to protect their access. Nobody wants to be the guy who calls out Albert Pujols on the carpet. Because, well, what if he really put up those insane numbers naturally? Stop it. Nobody wants to be the one who takes his legacy down. Because he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. And nobody wants to be the one who ruins that. Nobody wants to be the one who says, I'm going to find the Balco involved here. I'm going to find out how a guy whose bat fell off a cliff 6 years ago, suddenly, only in the second half, suddenly turned the clock back to like 2004 and hit 18 homers at 158 at-bats. That rate is insane. Pujols' best home run season of his career was 49. He had 49 homers in 2006 in 535 at-bats. Johnny, let's play a game called math. 535 at-bats, 49 homers. It's a home run every 10.91 at-bats. Now, that was his highest career home run total. 158 at-bats, 18 homers, 8.77. He hit a home run every 8.77 at-bats. All of a sudden, in the second half, he was Ruth. Not buying it. He's the comeback player of the year. They made a special spot on the All-Star team just for him, even though he was hitting 215 at the break. But yeah. Let's just pretend none of that happened.
You think somebody at the All-Star game got a hold of him and said, hey, let's turn your second half around?
I think he wanted 700 homers. Wasn't on pace. They got to the All-Star break, and somehow there was a conversation of, dude, they're not going to test you. Just go for it. And they didn't test him, and he went for it. It's like the UFC when they had Brock Lesnar come back to fight, was it Mark Hunt? And they just decided, oh, yeah, we're not going to test you. He was juiced out of his face. Not saying Pujols was juicing, but if nobody's looking, and all of a sudden you go from wash to monster, there should at least be a question getting asked. So Paulie does this thing called Wine Wednesday. We're going to get to some people who are whining next.
ESPN 97.5. It's Wine Wednesday.
It's the Wine and Cheese Club, gorgeous, where we all get together and vent about what annoys us at work.
On the Paul Gallant Show.
What's your Wednesday wine?
Wine, wine, wine.
So, we're going to pay our proper respects to Paul Gallant with a little Wine Wednesday. So yesterday, the Brooklyn Nets played in Philadelphia. Ben Simmons had his first game in Philly since being traded, and here's how it sounded.
Gentlemen, it's now time to meet tonight's participants. Up first, the Brooklyn Nets, head coach John Vaughn. And now tonight's starts at 6'10 from LSU, number 10, Ben Simmons.
There was some booing. There was some booing. And after that, well, Brooklyn lost. In the post game, Kevin Durant was asked about, so, you know, what'd you think about, you know, these boos for Ben Simmons?
You obviously been through that before in Oklahoma City. How important is it to get through that first game when you come back and you play against your old team?
It's a lot of emotions, a lot of, you just want to play well. You know, you know the fans are be involved and get excited. Well, not get excited, but just bring their best. But that's at every arena. Everybody wants to see our team fail. Nobody likes Ben. Nobody likes Kat. Nobody likes myself. So it might be like that in every road arena. You know what I'm saying? So it's just something we got to deal with. But I thought he did a great job of just handling it and playing his game. And we had chances to win, but we just didn't.
Is there a softer superstar in any sport than Kevin Durant? Hey, let's ask Katie a question about Ben Simmons. I got to make it about me. Nobody likes me. Everybody hates me. I think I'll go eat some worms. Everybody wants us to lose. I'm going to go on Twitter with my fake accounts, and I'm going to go yell at people because it makes me feel good. Maybe I'll get another coach fired. See, here's, you know, for all the crap we give LeBron about, you know, LeBron wants to be head coach, LeBron wants to be GM, LeBron wants to pick everything and do everything. You know what? LeBron has actually won a few without riding somebody else's coattails. Right? LeBron won a couple in Miami. Then he went to Cleveland, pushed out all the young guys, brought in Kevin Love. And they got a chip. I mean, they went a couple times. They got one. Then he went to L.A., forced them to trade the whole universe for Anthony Davis. It might be a bogus chip, but they got another chip in the COVID season. KD's never been head coach GM and won with his team. KD's never been lead dog. He won on Steph's team. Steph won without him before he got there, won with him when he was there, won again when he left. KD get out of the first round last year with Kyrie. Nobody is softer than Kevin Durant. What a freaking whiner. We were going to do more, but we have breaking news. Because the general, John McClain, has put on the tweeter. Lovie Smith told the media today he would not announce his starting quarterback for the Miami game. Kyle Allen is expected to start. Now again, all the reports from practice today said Davis Mills took the reps with the ones. That was during the portion of practice that the media could watch. We don't know what happened during the portion of practice the media could not watch. Apparently the Texans didn't want everybody running around with breaking news while they were still at practice. John McClain says Kyle Allen is expected to start. This is a wild turn of events over the last week and a half. From there's no way, he's our guy, Davis Mills gives us the best chance to win, change for what? Kyle Allen is expected to start. Lovie also said he is not taking away play calling from Pep Hamilton. Well, A, Lovie's a defensive guy, so probably just as well he's not calling the plays. But the worst offense in the NFL and the worst passing game in the NFL belong to Pep Hamilton's offense. They're completely non-imaginative on offense. They do no motion. They do no misdirection. Everything is very straightforward. I've talked to some former Texans who were linemen who said, if you do no motion, no misdirection, and you're basically snapping it on one every time, that is a lineman's worst nightmare. They know what the count is. There's no trickery. Everything is straight up and obvious. It is the hardest thing for a lineman to overcome. So you're taking a line that you know is weak in the middle and has a left guard who is struggling horribly. let's give them the absolute worst conditions to play under. Well, we're going to see how much of a difference Kyle Allen can make over Davis Mills. Can Kyle Allen, I don't know, make the average throws, make the basic throws, not take 12-yard sacks, not throw pick sixes, not underthrow every deep ball and get picked. This is a big movement for them to make. And again, it doesn't have to be permanent. Although, if Kyle Allen plays well, you got to leave him in there until he stops playing well, right? Is this the moment where the Texans have accepted, you know what? Davis Mills isn't the guy. Are we finally at that point? Because as bad as the pick six was on the second throw of the game, that he telegraphed that thing all the way to Germany, the pick in the fourth quarter where he threw the ball 48 yards down the field under through his receiver was more egregious. Because he was clearly forcing the throw into double coverage and underthrown. He had just thrown the same pass on the other side of the field to Brandon Cooks the play before and was incomplete, underthrown. Your offense hasn't gotten big chunk plays, and now all of a sudden you're trying to force the ball down the field, underthrowing a double coverage picked. That was the kind of player where it was like, dude, what is your decision making on this deal? How did you come up with this is going to be the best decision to make? Or did you just say, screw it, I'm going to chuck? John McClain, GallerySports.com, John McClain, says Kyle Allen is expected to start on Sunday in Miami. What do you guys think about that? You know, there's a phone number here. It's 713-780-3776. What do you think about Kyle Allen being the starter on Sunday? We'll give away some more UH football tickets on the other side.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Fun sports. The most interactive sports talk show in Houston continues now.
What's happening, Paul? Most interactive show, and really enjoy that aspect of it. Y'all keep it up.
Get involved in the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776. Here's Paul Gallant.
All right, let's give away some more tickets here. UH taking on Tulsa this weekend on senior night. Caller number 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. Get a pair of tickets. See UH Cougs Saturday night, November 26th, 6:30. UH football. You can also purchase a family four-pack, four tickets, four dogs, four chips, four sodas, just $96. Go to uhcougars.com/promo, enter promo code TULSA4PACK, or call 713-GO-COUGS. Get your tickets today. Now, I don't know how much better Texans are going to be with Kyle Allen. I know they can't be worse. Davis Mills has been terrible. Davis Mills has been beyond terrible. His decision-making has been awful. We know this. Lovey has told us his decision-making has been awful all year long. He keeps telling us. But when we ask him, well, why does he keep playing? He gets upset. So John McClain breaking the news today that Kyle Allen is expected to start. Now, we played the audio yesterday of Lovey Smith talking about Kyle Allen. And that, you know, hey, he's in the limited amount of time he's gotten to play, that he's played well. But, you know, realistically, the number two quarterback doesn't really get any reps in practice. And that, you know, he played well in the preseason and previous to that, he, you know, played well when he had time to play. So, Kyle Allen has been a 63% completion guy for his career. Has more touchdowns than interceptions. It's important. The big thing here is, can he just not make the colossal blunders that Davis Mills continues to make time and time again? The only thing we're looking for here is accountability. You can't say you're trying to grow a player if there's no accountability. Davis Mills hasn't had any accountability because you just keep going out there, keep making the same old mistakes, nothing changes. And again, this doesn't have to be a permanent change. But one long enough to correct whatever it is that Davis Mills is doing wrong consistently that causes him to keep making the wrong decisions and making the wrong reads and making ill-advised throws. We saw last year that that little break that he had going back to the bench did him a lot of good. Maybe a little break here will do him a lot of good. That being said, if Kyle Allen comes out and they win, now look, they're playing a Dolphins team that they should not have a chance of beating. There's literally no way they should be able to cover Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle. Nobody's been able to cover Tyreek Hill this year. Tyreek Hill is literally playing like a guy who wants to show the entire world that he is a quarterback maker. Patrick Mahomes didn't make him. He was the greatest thing going long before that. Tyreek Hill with Tua Tagovailoa as quarterback, most of the time, sometimes with Teddy Bridgewater, leads the league in receptions with 81, leads the league in yards with 1,148. He had 1,239 last year in 17 games. He's got 1,148 this year in 10 games. A little low on the touchdowns. He's only got 4 touchdowns. But he's averaging a league-high 114.8 yards per game. And, you know, he's the fastest thing on 2 feet in the NFL. He's been just incredible. Then Jaylen Waddle on the other side. A guy who, you know, as a rookie, had over 104 catches and 1,015 yards. Well, Jaylen Waddle in 10 games, 51 catches, 878 yards, and 6 touchdowns. And he's averaging 87.8 yards per game. Those are really serious numbers. I mean, we're talking like these guys, these two receivers are doing Randy Moss, Chris Carter stuff. And look, Tua's been terrific. All the questions about Tua were always about his durability. Can he stay healthy? You know, that hip injury was really serious. Tua's completing 71%. He's got 18 touchdowns and 3 picks. He's 7-1 on the season. He's only been sacked 8 times. That's phenomenal protection. If the Texans can't get to Tua, and he's got all day to let Waddle and Hill run around the secondary until they finally get open, this will be a boat race game. And all you're asking is, hey, can you guys put up enough points to be respectable? They're giving Kyle Allen the start. It's a hell of an assignment. Go up against one of the highest scoring offenses in the league in their building and get it figured out because, well, the Dolphins might put 40 on us. So, can you score? You know what? They know Davis Mills can't. That's as quick as that comes out, they know we can't. Now, we're coming up to the, you know, last segment of the show here, and Paul does the garbage time. We got a couple of garbage time. We're also going to talk about something. I didn't talk about this yesterday because I wanted to see how it would play out over the next day to see if it would continue to get worse with Lane Kiffin and the absolute epic troll job that Lane Kiffin is pulling right now. So a couple of things that we'll get to on the other side. And, you know, if you're trolling around looking for baseball news and you're wondering, is the national media going to the national baseball media going to do their typical suck up job to the Yankees and the Dodgers and the rest of it? Well, the answer is yes. Here, there's an article on ESPN on predicting where the biggest players are going to go. So Aaron Judge, they've got seven ESPN quote experts, right? Aaron Judge, Yankees, Giants, Yankees, Giants. Jacob DeGrom, Rangers, Braves, Rangers, Cardinals. I hope the Rangers spend the $160 million that these guys think they're going to spend on Jacob DeGrom, and then Jacob DeGrom, unfortunately, will probably miss 4 months of the season. That's a Rangers move. Where do you think Buster Olney has the big four shortstops going? Trey Turner to the Phillies. Correa back to the Twins for 8 years and $256 million. I don't know if Twinkie is coming up with that kind of money. Bogaerts back to the Sox. And Dansby Swanson to stay in Atlanta. Justin Verlander, ready? Here are the seven predictions from ESPN on Verlander. Astros, 2 years, $87 million. Astros, 3 years, $126 million. Dodgers, 2 years, $80 million. Dodgers, 2 years, $83 million. Astros, 2 years, $90 million. Oh, here's our friend Buster Olney. Rangers, 3 years, $130 million. If you're Justin Verlander, you are not going to the Rangers. You want 300 wins. You'll need six seasons to get it in Arlington. Oh, but one more. Rangers, 3 years, $120 million. Apparently, everybody's going to the Rangers. I went and looked through this. I could not find them with the Astros involved in any other player at all. Not Brandon Nimmo. Not Wilson Contreras. In fact, they're Nimmo predictions. Mets, Jays, and then one kook said the Marlins. Yeah, the Marlins are paying 5 years and $120 million for a guy when, I mean, they're so close to contending. Nonsense. One more segment to go. Next.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul Gallant.
All right, one more segment to go here on The Paul Gallant Show. Patrick Crittenden for Paul. Paul is very active on Twitter right now, by the way, for those of you wanting to talk about Kyle Allen. Paul, very active on the Twitter. Killer Bee is coming up in about 12 minutes. So there was a tweet came out the other day regarding Lane Kiffin from a reporter who covers Mississippi State named John Sokoloff. Apparently he's a big friend of Jake Asman. And Sokoloff said, Ole Miss head coach Lane Kiffin plans to step down as the Rebels coach Friday and head to Auburn to become the Tigers' next head coach, according to sources. Sources say the Tigers haven't officially offered the job to anyone yet, so Lane to Auburn is happening. Wait a minute. He's quitting before he gets an offer, and he's going there on Friday to become the coach, even though he didn't have an offer, and therefore it's definitely happening. Lane Kiffin, of course, in his typical troll sense, started quote tweeting him and trolling him. That's news to me, John. Nice sources. And look, whether it's true or not, you know, Lane Kiffin's not going to confirm it because the coaches always lie about that. And, you know, then he started posting up stuff. Like, he posted a fake story. It says, this just in. Breaking news. John Sokoloff of WCBI News in Starkville, Mississippi, plans to step down as lead anchor and head to WLOX to become their new lead anchor. Sources say WLOX hasn't offered the job to anyone yet. So John to WLOX is happening. Then he posted a meme of some guy giving like a peace sign in front of a tombstone, recent burial, where it says John Sokoloff and the tombstone says John Sokoloff's career. So Lane was all over him. You know, and you've got, you know, Lane Kiffin getting ready for the Egg Bowl. You got Cadillac Williams, the interim coach in Auburn, getting ready for the Iron Bowl. It got, like, Lane is next level entertaining. And it's just, it's so funny. If he were as good a coach as he is on Twitter, he'd beat Saban every year. The Spokane Indians tweeted out, Ole Miss head coach Lane Kiffin plans to step down as Rebels coach today and head to Spokane to become the ticket services coordinator for the Indians. I love the fact that Lane is trolling the hell out of him. I thought the wording of the tweet was hilarious. He's quitting and he's going to take this other job even though he hasn't even been offered the job yet. Hope you enjoyed those clicks, bruh. Anyhow, it is now time for the garbage.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
Apparently, Kendall Jenner and Devin Booker have called it quits. Why? They're too busy for the boom boom. Imagine that. You know, Devin Booker's an NBA player. And Kylie Jenner, well, she's a model. And she's got her new 818 tequila company. And apparently, that makes them... Oh, it's Kendall Jenner, not Kylie Jenner. It's Kendall Jenner. Kendall Jenner... Devin Booker are over because their careers make them too busy to get it on. Now, since Kendall Jenner is only half a Kardashian, and The Jenner kids are kind of better looking than the Kardashian kids. And Devin Booker is rich. I don't think I, you know, when you do the like rich handsome thing, he definitely has that I'm rich so my looks don't matter as much. But if we're just talking about looks based, Devin Booker's never hitting this level again. Sad day for Devin Booker. Johnny, what would you do with like a year's worth of free cheap beer?
I'd probably throw a giant party. You know, I mean, I don't know how much I'm going to drink, but we're going to all drink, you know?
So you're familiar with the fact that at the last moment before the World Cup, Qatar decided they were going to ban all alcoholic beverages in the stadiums. See, originally they had said, you know what? For the World Cup, we're going to make an exception and we're going to allow alcohol sales in the stadium. But like the day before the World Cup, they went, psych, yeah, no, we're not.
Well, I heard it's because the I don't know what you call him, the president, leader, whatever. He apparently did not like the way the alcohol tents made the venues look. So he moved them out of the way. So you have to basically drink 45 minutes away, get on a bus, and then go to the stadium to watch the soccer while you're already, your buzz is wearing off.
So all the beer that Anheuser-Busch, who signed on as a major sponsor for the World Cup, all the beer that they sent to Qatar that they now can't sell, they're going to give for free to the team that wins. So all the Budweiser that you could drink is coming your way if you win the World Cup. I imagine there's a lot of countries that are probably like, yeah, we should lose just for this. Or if we win, we're not actually going to drink this. Now, if it was Coors Light, John Granato would probably be the spokesman, and they'd throw a huge party.
John Granato would suddenly be on the bench of that team.
Antonio Brown, who is probably clinically insane, who has been trolling Tom Brady all year, even though Tom Brady has gotten him multiple jobs, posted a photoshopped picture of Giselle naked on his Snap. Of course, it's been deleted, but we don't know if it's been deleted by Brown or by Snap. Snap doesn't let you post the nudies. Not publicly. You have to do that in the private chats. Is this Antonio Brown's like weird way of trying to shoot a shot? Because he's posted Photoshop pictures of Giselle with him where he put his head over Tom Brady's body. Of course, he kept the white legs, which is kind of funny, but you know, he's like had pictures of Giselle like on top of him and hugging him, whatnot. I think he's trying to shoot a shot at Giselle in his own warped, weird way. Finally, Sean Coogler, assistant coach for the Arizona Cardinals, now former assistant coach. He was the O-line coach and the running game coordinator. He was fired in Mexico City because he apparently groped a woman in Mexico City over the weekend. Mexican authorities were involved. The dude's lucky he's not in like some jail from the 1840s. You're a head coach of the, you're an assistant coach of the NFL. You're making a pretty good amount of money and you're in Mexico City. Dude, get a hooker. Go get a call girl. We'll get a Heidi Fleiss special. You walk around and just randomly grope some woman. You deserve to get fired. You're an idiot. You know, I mean, if he'd have put a $50 bill in there, maybe she wouldn't have got mad. But he didn't. Now, he's fired. Probably not getting back there ever again. Before we call today and hand it off to the Killer Bees, one more time, we got to tell you about our friends at MyBookie. Because, again, tomorrow is Thanksgiving. Food, football, and winning money on my bookie. It's the big three. That's what I'm doing tomorrow. Food, football, and winning money at my bookie. My bookie never makes you wait for payouts. And you know what? They've got a new bonus that's designed to let you cash in and cash out nice and quick. So get started at mybookie.ag. Use promo code BET975. Deposit as little as $50, as much as $2,000. You get a 10% bonus, and all you got to do is bet that amount one time. And then you can cash out, no problems, no strings. Hammer the bonus at mybookie.ag. This way you can focus on food and football and securing that bag. NFL, NBA, player props, World Cup, whatever you want. Take advantage of the cash-in, cash-out bonus with promo code BET975. Bet on anything, anytime, anywhere. Only at MyBookie. Killer Bees, next.
ESPN 97.5.